Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Age of Addiction: How Bad Habits Became Big Business is a history and social analysis of addiction in the modern world. David T. Courtright argues that addiction should not be understood only as a matter of individual weakness or drug misuse, but as a broader pattern shaped by markets, technology, and corporate strategy. The book traces how products and activities that stimulate pleasure and repeated use, from alcohol and tobacco to opioids, sugar, gambling, gaming, shopping, and social media, became increasingly organized around profit. Courtright uses the idea of limbic capitalism to describe industries that deliberately target the brain systems tied to desire, reward, and habit formation. The result is a wide-ranging account of how industrialization, globalization, and consumer culture help normalize compulsive behavior as a profitable business model. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, limbic capitalism explains addiction as a business model, not just a personal flaw. Courtright's central contribution is the concept of limbic capitalism, which frames addiction as something produced and cultivated by modern commercial systems. Instead of treating compulsive behavior as an isolated medical or moral failure, he shows how businesses profit by designing products that stimulate craving, repetition, and dependence. This includes industries that sell substances, but also those that sell experiences and habits engineered to keep consumers returning. The point is not that all consumption is addiction, but that many markets are organized around maximizing repeated use rather than meeting basic needs. That distinction matters because it shifts attention from the consumer alone to the institution shaping desire. By locating addiction within capitalism, the book explains why certain products become unusually sticky, why companies invest in habit-forming design, and why public health efforts often struggle against powerful economic incentives. The idea is broad, but it gives the book its analytical unity. Secondly, historical change turns ordinary pleasures into scalable and profitable dependencies. The book is historical in method, and much of its force comes from showing that addiction intensified as societies became more industrial, urban, and globally connected. Courtright argues that humans have always sought pleasure and relief, but modern systems made those impulses easier to exploit on a mass scale. With industrial production, advertising, transport networks, and global trade, pleasures that were once limited by place or scarcity could be standardized, distributed widely, and consumed repeatedly. This historical framing helps explain why addiction is not simply an ancient human constant, even if the desire for reward is old. The scale, speed, and commercial organization of consumption changed dramatically. The book therefore links addiction to modernity itself. Expanding markets created more opportunities to package stimulation, while corporations learned to engineer products for repeat use. This approach is valuable because it avoids treating addiction as timeless and unchanging. Instead, it shows how specific historical conditions made bad habits easier to monetize and harder to resist. Thirdly, the book connects substances and behaviors into one continuum of compulsion. One of the book's defining features is its wide definition of addiction. Courtright does not restrict the subject to narcotics or alcoholism. He places opioids, tobacco, sugar, gambling, gaming, shopping, and digital media on a related spectrum of compulsive behavior. This move broadens the discussion from chemical dependence to patterns of conditioned repetition that can be socially and commercially produced. The argument is useful because many modern addictions do not look like classic drug dependency, yet they can still involve craving, relapse, and harmful overuse. By grouping substances and behaviors together, the book reveals common mechanisms: engineered reward, cue-driven repetition, and environments built to prolong engagement. At the same time, this breadth is one reason some readers see the argument as expansive to a fault. Still, the approach clarifies how a consumer society can convert ordinary pleasures into persistent habits. The value of the continuum is that it makes visible the shared logic behind apparently different forms of compulsion, especially when businesses design products to blur the line between enjoyment and dependence. Fourthly, corporate innovation and consumer design are shown as engines of craving. The book repeatedly emphasizes that addiction is not only sustained by demand from users, but also by supply from companies that optimize products for more use. Courtright points to familiar examples such as pain pills, fast food, and digital platforms, showing how firms refine flavor, convenience, access, stimulation, and repetition to hold attention and encourage consumption. This is a significant analytical shift because it treats addiction as partly manufactured through design choices. Businesses do not merely respond to consumer preference, they help create and intensify it. The book suggests that the same commercial logic applies across sectors. If repeated use increases profit, then innovation tends to focus on making products harder to abandon. That pattern explains why modern addictive goods often become more accessible, more palatable, and more embedded in daily routines over time. The argument also helps readers see why individual willpower is an incomplete solution. When products are built to exploit reward pathways, resistance is not just a matter of discipline, but of confronting a structured commercial environment. Lastly, public resistance requires collective action. Because addiction is embedded in culture and politics, Courtright does not present the problem of addiction as inevitable. He argues that limbic capitalism can be contained, but only through organized opposition that crosses political and cultural lines. This is an important part of the book because it moves beyond diagnosis and asks what a society can realistically do. Since addictive products are supported by markets, advertising, regulation gaps, and entrenched habits, responses must also be structural rather than purely individual. The book points to historical examples of reform coalitions and suggests that progressives, nationalists, and traditionalists have sometimes found common ground in opposing harmful commercial excess. That makes the argument more than a public health warning. It becomes a theory of political containment. Readers are invited to see addiction as a social policy issue involving regulation, education, and collective norms, not only therapy or personal restraint. This gives the book practical relevance. It helps explain why attempts to reduce addiction often fail when they focus only on consumer choice, while leaving the underlying business model intact. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable to readers interested in addiction, public health, history, political economy, media studies, and consumer culture. It is especially useful for people who want to understand why so many modern habits feel difficult to control, and why the same pattern appears across drugs, food, screens, shopping, and gambling. Courtright's major strength is that he combines a historical sweep with a structural argument addiction is not treated as a narrow medical category, but as part of a larger system of profit-driven habit formation. That makes the book stand out from works that focus only on neuroscience, personal recovery, or one substance at a time. Its broad scope can feel dense, but that breadth is also its distinguishing feature. It offers a unifying framework for understanding how modern markets turn pleasure into dependence, and why public responses must address industry incentives as well as individual behavior. For readers seeking a serious interdisciplinary account of why bad habits became big business, this is one of the most substantial books in the field. If you would like to support David T. Courtright, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.